Yep, something like that. That'll praise the Lord. All right. Well, it's great to see y'all this evening, and those of us online, welcome. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Let It Rise.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise.
Praise the Lord.
Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, ruler of everything. His name is higher, higher than any other name. His power is greater, for he has created everything. Mighty is our God, and mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, ruler of everything. His name is higher, higher than any other name. His power is greater, for he has created everything. Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, ruler of everything, ruler of everything. Yes, He is ruler of everything.
Praise the Lord. Sang both parts, just different verses. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the height sublime, where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home, leads home. The way of the cross leads home, leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I know we got one pick of him tonight. I think it's on 599, and I want to say it's Jesus is Lord of All. James, who requested it, is going to have to watch it later. We can sing it. Yeah, we can sing it next time, too. All right, Jesus is Lord of All, 599.
All my tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. I've quit my struggles, contentment at last, Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. All my conflicts, all my thoughts, Jesus is Lord of all. His love wins the battles I could not have fought, Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all of my longings, all my dreams, Jesus is Lord of all of my failures, his power redeems, Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus is Lord of all my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, anybody have another pick of him this evening? All right, well, praise the Lord.
Check one. Good to have everyone tonight. Good to see you folks online with us. And we can praise the Lord that we got 5.5 inches of rain. And I don't think it, on Zion, I was coming back from the hospital seeing my father-in-law yesterday in the midst of all that. And some of the older homes on Zion, right before you get to Ulrich, I thought, my soul, if it rains anymore, it's going to be inside of them. But I don't think anybody flooded on Zion. I didn't see any water when you're coming down Kirkendall, and you take that left on Huff Smith, whatever that road is, it takes you to Zion. You come to that four-way stop and go over the railroad tracks back to some of the. I've seen water completely cover that road, and I didn't see the water over that road when I came through there yesterday. But praise the Lord for the
Jessica,
rain.
Brother Lee, Jessica said she couldn't come down Hardin Store Road. She ended up having to come down Zion.
Oh my goodness! Okay.
So,
wow. All right. Praising for the rain, and that the storms missed us. But we need to pray for those folks in Deer Park and Pasadena, don't we? Hard to believe they got tore up as bad as they did, but boy, they sure did. All right. Any other praises? Yes, sir. What you got?
Ace's surgery went well. It was just his tonsils, but he was worried about it. But the big praise is Terry just went for her annual checkup, and her oncologist said everything looks good.
Amen. So cancer-free, in remission. All right. Praise the Lord. And then Stephanie's father, Larry, he came off the vent today at about 1 o'clock. So he is alert and watching.
Also,
I
forgot, she's sick tonight. She's got like the flu or something. So,
Terry does?
Yeah.
Okay.
She got the aches and pains and
all
fever
right.
And chills.
Amen. We'll lift
so
her up.
Remember her.
Yeah.
Very
off vent. Pray for his recovery. All right, other praises.
Did you say your father-in-law was doing well?
He's off the vent as of 1 o'clock and was talking and watching TV. So we consider that a praise. He's still bleeding quite a bit from his chest incision, but it is beginning to slow down.
Well, I got to praise Brother Lee. I got to meet with Marjorie's class during lunch period, and they put on a performance for me by memorizing all the books of the Bible.
All right.
And I was so impressed. I am every time during the awards ceremony that those young kids can get up there and
recite
do that
verses.
And
right.
Memorize their verses each month.
Amen.
But I treated him to lunch. And at Sonic.
Okay.
And they sent me a little thank you note. Thank you for treating our class to lunch. We loved our food and slushies.
All right.
So it was definitely a blessing.
What grade is that?
Kinder first.
All right. K through first, Miss Marjorie's class. That's great. All right, all right. Amen. Very good. Any other praises? What you got there, buddy?
My coworker at the college, Arnaldo, we prayed for him in the hospital, and he is now at home, and maybe he'll get to come back next week, so we're hoping.
All right, home from hospital, Arnaldo. And what was ailing him specifically?
Oh, boy, I think he had like a pneumonia.
Okay.
and maybe something else. It was like a couple of things that got him.
All right.
Yeah.
But he was really sick, so
yeah.
He's home now. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. All right, Arnaldo home from the hospital. All right, anything else? All right, praises. I got Deer Park, Pasadena, Miss Terry with the flu, Brother Ronnie with all his tests he's got coming up. Ronnie Holman with his cancer. What else?
Got a message from Alita. Want to praise none of her family immediately was involved in the Pasadena or the Deer Park area.
Right.
You know, praise God, because I don't believe I heard of any deaths during that storm.
No. As far as we know, by the news and by the county and by the state, no deaths, some injuries, but nobody died.
A lot of damage.
Yeah, a lot of damage.
Of course, Ronnie had his eyes worked on today, but pray Friday morning at 9 o'clock he's going in to get that endoscope on his pancreas.
Right.
Pray for that. And I was thinking that there was somebody else that was having a test this week. I couldn't remember who it was. Who?
Marilyn Davlin.
Oh, Miss Marilyn Davlin. That's right. And today is her birthday.
And she had
a
test today, her MRI.
She did have her MRI? Okay, great, great.
And this is MRI? Just MRI? Don't know. Okay. All right. Marilyn, MRI. All right, very good. All right. What else? Yes, sir.
Are we on prayer requests?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Got a chat from... somebody just must be watching online. It says, "Hi guys, please pray for me that I will pass a lie protecting test on the 30th of January from a old fashioned Bible Baptist church on YouTube." I looked it up, and the only thing I could find is a Pastor Daniel. So I'm not sure if that's his name or not.
So what kind of testing?
I guess it's a lie detector test. He said lie protecting test.
Live protect. Okay.
Yeah, that's what the text.
So
says.
The name is Daniel.
Well, he didn't give his name, but the only thing I could find on the YouTube channel is somebody called Pastor Daniel.
Pass test, okay.
Yeah.
It's not a lie detector, it's a life detection.
Life detection.
Yes. It's a Christian program, I believe. I've heard of that before.
Life detection test.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, nice. Life detection test. And then Alita is asking prayers for Socorro.
Okay, Miss Socorro.
Yeah, pray for all our shut-ins, Brother Lee.
Shut-ins.
We have some obvious unspoken requests within our church.
Spoken requests. You got it. Amen. What else? All right. Would that be all? Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we thank you that we can gather in your name. And Lord, we're thankful for our salvation. We're thankful for your word tonight. We're thankful for our Christian friends and family. We're thankful for a church home. Thankful for this place to meet in and sing praises to your name, Lord, and be in the Bible tonight. We just praise you and thank you for all of it. Thank you for how good you are to us and how you bless us and how you sustain us and quicken us and lead us on, Lord. We're just thankful for our relationship with you and thankful for the eternity that we have with you because of this great salvation. We praise you and thank you for that. So we think about the rain, Lord. We're overjoyed over the copious amounts of rain we received yesterday around the area. Lord, we pray that it did much and great good. We continue to pray for rain as some of this dries and runs off, Lord. We pray you'd set up another shower to come this way and just let us get ahead a little bit for the year and catch up from last. And so we're thankful for that rain. And as we think about the storms yesterday, Lord, we want to pray for our sister cities to the south and east. We pray for Pasadena and Deer Park and places that experienced this tornado yesterday. We pray that in the federal government, FEMA, local and state, would do everything within their power to help these people. Thank you that the communities are coming together and helping each other. And Lord, we just pray that in the midst of all this loss of property, there would be praise given to your name for your provision, for your protection, and how even in the midst of loss, you provided for people's basic needs. So Lord, we praise you and thank you in advance for that. But we pray now that you would help these folks as they go through this time of difficulty and loss of their property. We're thankful that ACE's surgery, Lord, we praise you for that, that went well. We praise you they had successful surgery. We praise you that Terry has got a good checkup from her oncologist, is cancer-free. We praise you, Lord, that Stephanie's dad, Larry, is come off the ventilator as of 1 o'clock today. We pray for his continued healing and recovery. We're thankful for the time that John had with Miss Marjorie's class. And Lord, thank you for the fellowship that they were able to share and the bread that they broke and just all the fun that they had. We give you praise for that. We praise you for Jeremiah's friend, Arnaldo, his co-worker. He's home from the hospital, Lord. Thank you for his healing and healing enough to come home. And we pray for his continued recovery. But Lord, thank you for answering that prayer. And then Alita's family being spared down in the tornado area. Thank you, Lord, that none of her family was affected. We give you praise for that. As we think about Terry, we continue to pray for her healing as she ails from flu. And Lord, we pray you just help her get past that and get on to healing from that and have some good antibodies against that. We lift up Ronnie Vaculik to you tonight. We pray for this upcoming test he has on Friday with this endoscope. As we have prayed and as we continue to pray, we pray that it would not find anything seriously wrong with his pancreas. We pray that you give the doctors wisdom and discernment. Lord, we pray that there not be any kind of growth or anything evident there. That, Lord, you have already removed it. So, Lord, we just lift Ronnie up to you and pray for your healing hand upon his life. We lift up Ronnie Holman to you, and we pray for his cancer. And, Lord, we pray you might remove that from his body and bring healing to his life and sustain him and help him and Nancy as they go through this together. We lift up Miss Marilyn and this test that she had today. We pray for wisdom and discernment on behalf of her physicians and doctors. And Lord, we just pray for Miss Marilyn's health. Pray you keep her healthy, touch her body, and just be with her. And then, Lord, this online request for this life detection test, we pray that whoever's submitting this, we pray that you help them pass the test that they're requesting help with, Lord. And may they pass it for your glory and honor. So, Lord, we just lift that up to you tonight. Miss Sakura, we pray for her as well as all of our shut-ins. Touch them, Lord. Encourage them. Help them, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct them. And, Lord, we're thankful that they can be with us in the midst of our services by the live stream. Lord, the unspoken request that we think about within our congregation, thank you, Lord, that we can lift those up to you silently. We praise you tonight that we have a God that listens. We have a God that cares. We have a God that knows exactly where we're struggling and where we're hurting and what we're dealing with. And so, Lord, we're thankful that we can silently lift these unspoken requests up to you. And, Lord, that you hear us and that you receive these things. And we pray for your strength. We pray for your help. We pray for your protection. We pray for your guidance and wisdom in the midst of all these things. So, Lord, we just thank you and praise you tonight. We pray for our government and we pray for our military, Lord. We pray for all the situations across this nation that are just incredibly horrific, from the senseless violence of shooting and killing people, and to the senseless violence of police officers beating a man to death. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, you would touch and heal our land, that you would help us, in spite of us, God, you would help us, and Bring us back to a point of civility and respecting of humanity and loving of one another. Seem to have lost that in different parts of the country. And so, Lord, we're just lifting that up to you tonight, praying for your help. Continue to pray for Ukraine. Lord, as they've requested, we pray that they would get the tanks that they so desperately need and other armament to drive out the aggressor. To drive out the Russians, to get the Russian army off their sovereign land. So, Lord, we pray that you just continue to be with them, undergird them, strengthen them, and help them win the fight for democracy. Father God, we do thank you for all that you do for us, for how you bless us. Thank you that we can be in your word tonight. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Leviticus. And we haven't read chapter 7. I don't think so. The priest part in the offerings. Chapter 7, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. I believe we've trucked through the other portions, beginning in 5:14 through chapter 6, verse 7. I believe so. All right. Very good. All right, chapter 7, are you there, Leviticus? Those of you with us online, all right. Leviticus chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God reads, "Now this is the law of the guilt offering. It is most holy. In the place where they slay the burnt offering, they are to slay the guilt offering, and he shall sprinkle its blood around on the altar. Then he shall offer from it all its fat, the fat tail, and the fat that covers the entrails, and the two kidneys, which the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver he shall remove with the kidneys. The priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as an offering by fire to the Lord. It is a guilt offering. Every male among the priests may eat of it. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy." Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, last time when we ended, we were talking about the Lord's holy things, and we pivoted and we talked about what are some of the Lord's holy things for Christians. Well, as we think about what are the Lord's holy things in regards to the book of Leviticus, in regards to this series of messages that we're going through, talking about the guilt offering, if you will, we said the Lord's name is holy, right? Yes? And then we talked about how the Sabbath was to be kept holy, right? Saturday. And then we went on and we mentioned the offerings and the temple rites were holy. And then we talked about the Jewish race was holy. And when we refer to that, we mean the national purity was supposed to be holy. They were set apart. Jesus is coming through this group. The national purity was holy. Then we pivoted and we talked about what are some of the Lord's holy things for Christians. Again, the Lord's name. Yes, amen. And then we talked about the gospel. And then we mentioned our bodies. And then we got into this Lord's Supper. And so as we pick it up this evening, when it comes to the Lord's Supper table, or if you want to call it Holy Communion, all of us as believers are priests, if you will. Yeah. And as priests, we may eat, we may partake, both men and women, boys and girls that have received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they may eat. The Levitical priests would violate the Lord's holy things if they ate anything with blood in it. Yet think about us. We freely participate in both the body and the blood of Christ. Now, of course, it's representative of the body and the blood of Christ. We're not Catholic, so we don't believe in transubstantiation. But it begs the question, why? Why do we get to partake of the body and the blood of Christ? Well, scholars tell us, Old Testament scholars tell us, that when the priest ate the guilt offering, he was ingesting the sin of the offerer to make atonement for him, for the offerer. The blood was excluded. He couldn't eat anything. The priest couldn't eat anything with blood in it. The blood was excluded because the life was in the blood. And the life had to be shed because of what, church? Because of guilt, right? It's a guilt offering. For us, Christ has made the perfect atonement. We partake of His sinless body and drink His life, which is His blood. Amen, amen? Yes? We get a little bit of that? That brings us to the guilt for unknown sin. Chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, if you want to turn there, you're more welcome. 5:17. 5:17 through 19, the Word of God reads, "Now if a person sins and does any of these things, which the Lord has commanded not to be done, though he was unaware, still he is guilty and shall bear his punishment. He is then to bring to the priest a ram without defect from the flock according to your valuation for a guilt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his error in which he sinned unintentionally and did not know it, and it will be forgiven him. It is a guilt offering. He was certainly guilty before the Lord." Guilt for unknown sin. Unknown sin is a class of unintentional sin. Now, a sin can be unknown because you didn't know that an action violated the Lord's command. Or a sin can be unknown because circumstances hid from you the sinful nature of your actions. Now, let's see an example of this in Genesis chapter 26. If you want to turn there, fine. If not, I'll read it to you. Genesis chapter 26, beginning in verse 8. 26, 8. And I'll take it through verse 10. The Word of God reads in Genesis 26, 8. It came about when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, he looked out through a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife, Rebekah. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, certainly she is your wife. How then did you say she is my sister?" And Isaac said to him, "Because I said I might die on account of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." Now, one debate in our modern age is between situational ethics and absolute morals, right? You understand situational ethics? Some would say it's never appropriate to tell a lie, right? But if you're protecting Jewish people from the Germans wanting to take them to concentration camp, you might lie to protect them, right? Well, is that wrong or is that right? Well, that's where we come to the situational ethics and absolute morals. Huh, yeah. Kind of gray, isn't it, there? Yeah, it's not white and black anymore. It starts to bleed into a gray color. Now, when we think about Abimelech and Isaac, between them two, there was no such debate. A Philistine would have been guilty of adultery if he had slept with Rebekah, even though the situation suggested differently. Now, incidentally, this is the first occurrence of the word guilt in the Scriptures, this Genesis passage that we just read. Another incident that combines elements of unknown sin and the Lord's holy things occurs in Joshua chapter 9. We'll not read it, but I'll give you a synopsis. The Gibeonites, marked by the Lord for destruction, right, by the Israelites, they didn't want to die by destruction, and so they came up with a plan to dress themselves up and pretend that they were from a distant land. And so they came traipsing in, and they asked Joshua to make a treaty with them. And though Joshua asked some probing questions, he did not inquire before the Lord before making the treaty. And he swore by the Lord to make the treaty with them. And when the truth became known, Joshua stood by the treaty he had made by swearing on the Lord's name. But obviously, he was guilty of an unknown violation of the Lord's commands. They were Gibeonites. They were supposed to be destroyed. In this case, the guilt was incurred in ignorance. Ignorance, however, is no excuse. The guilt exists, and the guilt must be dealt with. Now, that brings me to this question, and it's a tenuous question. And this is why God's grace is so awesome. Because the question goes like this: will any of us ever know the Scriptures in such a way or be so led by the Holy Spirit as to never commit any unknown sin and thus incur guilt in our lives? And I'll answer it for myself: probably not. You mean to tell me you study the Bible every day and you don't think by the end of your life, preacher, that you will know the Scripture enough or be led by the Spirit enough to not commit an unknown sin? I don't think I'll ever get there. I don't think I'll ever get there, man. I want to try to get there, but I don't think I'll ever get there. See, anyone, Wesleyans, anyone, some other charismatic groups, anyone who says we can live sinlessly before our resurrection, before our new body one day, anyone who says that we can live sinlessly, they have a shallow view of the human heart. A very shallow view of the human heart. And they have no understanding whatsoever of God's righteous character. Friend, He's way afar off in His holiness and character. We way, way, way over here. You got to get that. Amen? Therefore, the guilt offering demonstrates, praise the Lord, God's grace to the Israelite by making a provision for not knowing it all, not understanding it all, and feeling a sense of God's righteousness and of falling short, yet not knowing why. Yet not knowing why. He's a God that seeks to cover us with His grace. Amen? Now, if one were to study the Proverbs in depth, one would find that there are four Hebrew words translated full in Proverbs. They are pethi. Pethi in the Hebrew means naive. It means simple one. It means not committed. There is also kessel. Kessel means dull, insensitive, or foolish. The third one you'll know is evil, right? It's a hater of wisdom. The fourth one is qualus. Qualus means the scoffer. These words, these four words for fool in Proverbs, these four words suggest a continuum between the ignorant and uncommitted and the premeditated sinner. I tell you that to tell you this. Everything we do falls somewhere within this continuum. Intentional sin is brash. Intentional sin is bold and direct and premeditated. It's consuming. There are many descriptions of those who plan the next day's evil. You say, I don't know anybody like that. They're out there. There are people out there. These two gentlemen that shot people the last week, these two Asian gentlemen, one committed suicide, one didn't. Those people were planning the next day's evil, planning it, right? You got these serial killers. They're planning the next day's evil. There are many descriptions of those who plan the next day's evil when they go to sleep at night. Let's look at an example of that in Isaiah. Isaiah, let's look in our Bibles, try to bring some context to it. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, let's look at verses 18 through 23, or I'll read it to you if you simply want to listen. Those of you with me online, chapter 5, verse 18 through 23. It says, woe to those who drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood and sin as if with cart ropes, who say, let him make speed, let him hasten his work that we may see it. And let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come to pass that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes and drinking wine and valiant men mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. You see it? That then brings us back to our passage in Leviticus chapter 6, dealing with extortion in one of the main passages on the guilt offering. Chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when a person sins and acts unfaithfully against the Lord and deceives his companion in regard to a deposit or security entrusted to him, or through robbery, or if he has extorted from his companion, or has found what was lost and lied about it and sworn falsely so that he sins in regard to any one of the things a man may do, then it shall be when he sins and becomes guilty that he shall restore what he took by robbery or what he got by extortion or the deposit which was entrusted to him or the lost thing which he found or anything about which he swore falsely. He shall make restitution for it in full and add to it 1/5 more. He shall give it to the one to whom it belongs on the day he presents his guilt offering. Then he shall bring to the priest his guilt offering to the Lord, a ram without defect from the flock, according, as we've read this over and over again, according to your valuation for a guilt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he will be forgiven for any one of the things which he may have done to incur guilt. Still with me? Yes, yes. Amen. According to Leviticus, if you cheat your neighbor, you need to bring a guilt offering. If you find property and do not return it, you need to bring a guilt offering. Along with the guilt offering, you also return what was stolen, as the scripture says, plus 20% or 1/5. Now, I'm immediately reminded of the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. The Word of God reads in Matthew 5, 23, it says, "Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering." Now, the gift, Matthew, of course, is written to Jewish folks. The gift Jesus is referring to may be a peace offering, may be a tithe. Regardless, it is made worthless by the offense someone has received from you. Right? Making sense a little bit? Amen. That brings us to a legal and moral debt. How to handle guilt biblically, or handling guilt biblically, if you will. Guilt is legal and or a moral debt. Both the Levitical offerings and Christianity claim to resolve guilt in our lives. But the enemies of the church are able to accuse us of generating huge amounts of guilt. We talked about this in a Bible study or two back. And so the question is, what gives? Are we, as the church, are we innocent of the charge? Well, I don't seek to generate guilt in people's lives. I just simply sense or seek to preach the Bible and let the Bible fall where it may. So are we innocent of the charge? Mostly so, but partly not. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, the emotion of guilt, like anger and fear, can be distorted by sin. So, in spite of anyone's best intentions, it's still going to happen. Guilt's going to be produced. Why? Just like anger and fear, guilt can be distorted by sin. Make sense? So an overactive conscience is one of the liabilities of spiritual warfare, especially as we draw nearer and nearer to God. And neither do Christianity's detractors understand that a deadened conscience is also damaging to the person. So whether a person has an overactive conscience, that's going to cause them problems. Or if they have a deadened conscience, that's going to cause them problems. Remember how we kind of began this thing, talking about how this emotional muscle that brings conviction in our lives, we need to have it tuned and we need to have it trained. Tuned and trained by the Word of God. So, again, how do we handle guilt biblically? Well, for true guilt, whether against the Lord or man, whether known or unknown, the Levitical combination of restitution and the guilt offering absolved the offender of all legal and moral debt. For the Christian, restitution and the death of Jesus Christ, our guilt offering, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, also absolves us of legal and moral debt. Hallelujah, amen. So this statement is important because one of the reasons we carry our guilt is that we refuse to recognize that the debt has been paid. The debt has been paid. Now, there are sins, and you can look at your life and think about sins that you've committed. There are sins that I've committed years ago, sins that I have confessed and repented of and attempted to move on from. However, sometimes my mind, check this out, maybe you can relate. My mind goes back to what I did. My mind goes back. And I'm reminded of the guilt and shame like it was the day I committed the sin, or the day after I committed the sin, or the week after, or whatever it may be. That's not on God. That's not the Holy Spirit's fault. That's not some preacher's fault. That's nobody's fault. That's on me. Make sense? Yeah. See, Jesus paid for that sin. The penalty of that sin, He's taken care of. And my job as a believer is to accept the grace. To make the restitution. If there's restitution needed, make it. I preached a similar, I don't think I was in Leviticus. I can't remember where I was. It was in my former church down in Pearland area. I had one of the band members in the praise band. He came up to me after the service was over. I said, "Yeah, man, what's going on?" He said, I really enjoyed the message. He goes, "You really made me think." It made you think about what? Jesus' salvation? No, preacher. He goes, "You made me think about restitution." I said, "Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's good. It's in the Bible, restitution." He goes, "Well, I'm going to practice some restitution today." I said, "Oh, you are?" He said, "Yeah." He goes, I'm taking you and your family to lunch. I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." I go, "Man, you don't owe me anything." He goes, "No, you don't understand." He goes, "Years ago when I was a teenager," he's, I don't know, let's call him 50, 10 years ago, so he'd be 60 now. He goes, "When I was a teenager," he goes, I had a problem. He goes, "I'd go into the store, find something that I really like." He goes, "If I didn't have the money," he goes, "I'd just take it." He goes, "I just stole." He goes, "Never got caught." He goes, "But you know what? God knows." He goes, "I didn't get away with it." He goes, but Pastor, he goes, "The place I stole from the most," he goes, "they're out of business." He goes, "There's no place to make restitution." He goes, "But I'm making restitution with you, my brother." He goes, "Where do you want to eat?" Right? He was reminded, amen, of a past infraction, of a past sin. I'm sure he had confessed it. I'm sure he had repented of it. But he had in him what? This desire to make some sort of restitution, right? And so my job is to make the restitution where needed and then move on, right? Now, you've heard the saying, "Let the dead dog lie." Let the dead sleeping dog. Okay. Well, either way, let him alone. Either way, let him alone. Amen. Let that dog lie. When you made the restitution, receive the grace. That's the hang up. I haven't received the grace. I'm still struggling with it. Right? You got to receive the grace. This same church member, he came up to me sometime later and he goes, he had a real, discernment? He had a real discernment. He knew how to read me or something. I don't know. I'm an open book anyway, but he came up to me after service. He goes, He goes, you're still struggling with whatever. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, you're struggling with. And I go, you know, you're right. He goes, you know what he said? He goes, you need to live. He goes, you need to live your own preaching, brother. And you know what? He was right. Amen. He was right. And you know what I did? I finally let it go. Receive the grace. Make restitution where it needs to be made. Move on. That's the hardest part. The hardest part is receiving the grace. He's that good to us. His grace is that great. And he's already given it. We just have to receive it. Amen and amen. I'm going to land the plane there. We'll come back after the cruise and try to finish up the guilt offering. Amen? All right, let's pray it out. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for this grace. Lord, we pray that in our struggles to receive it, we would work those things out. Whatever those things are, whatever those details are, why can't we receive that grace? Why do we keep thinking about that thing that you paid for on the cross? Help us work it out in our hearts and minds and get free of it. And finally, be able to exhale and let it go. Walk away and let the sleeping dog lie. Father God, we love you tonight. Thank you for all you do for us. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for your church. Be with us as we depart this place. We praise you and we love you. It's in your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. All right, online folks, we'll see you next time.